What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 494th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ. With me is Greg.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the year that has a lot of twos in it.
2022. The year of Fearow.
Fearow? Oh, because that's 22.
Yeah. There's not 2022 Pokemon.
Not yet.
Well, they repeat.
That, you know, I can't. Will is here. I got excited.
Cold outside. FYI, I still can't feel. I went grocery shopping, and I still can't feel my fingers. That's how cold it was outside.
Wait a minute. What if this is the year of two Wobbuffets?
Oh,
because Wobbuffet is 202, so it's 202-2.
Wobbuffet squared. One with lipstick, one without.
I am not one for like New Year's resolutions or waiting for like a new door to open. I understand that people gravitate towards that. Like,
there's nothing magical about the start of the year.
Correct.
But my goal for 2022 is to be able to recite the whole Pokédex in order. Which, you know, some people are out here learning a different language. They're like, let's get Spanish under the belt. Let's learn a little Japanese. I'm like, I need something as useless as possible. What comes after Bulbasaur? Ivysaur. What comes after that? I want to do the whole Pokedex.
There you go. That's just, you know, that helps your little memory exercise.
Yeah.
It's like brain age.
Yeah.
I will say, in terms of achievements, I successfully bought no carrot cake in the entirety of 2021.
And did you have carrot cake purchased for you?
No one even bought me one, even though they could have. They mistook the meaning of my resolution. But when I was able to buy carrot cake again yesterday, the only carrot cake I could buy was the bad Hy-Vee carrot cake.
Oh, no.
So I started out on a low so that now
well, yeah,
it's all my carrot cake for the rest of the year is going to be great.
We did a friend of mine and we did a Lord of the Rings marathon on New Year's Eve and we had carrot cake Oreo.
That sounds wonderful.
They are very good. What does that look?
It's an Oreo. I'm willing to try it.
Look, it is a thing amongst this group of friends and myself that we try all the wild flavors of Oreos. Like, we have everything that has come out that is a new limited edition or slightly off Oreo flavor, we have purchased and taste tested together. And carrot cake Oreos is one of the better ones.
All right. We actually surprisingly have more news this week than last week, which is...
Well, it's the start of the year. Now that the 25th anniversary is over and we can move past that nightmare,
yes.
They can actually start releasing real information
the
about
news
this.
Blockade the has news ended blockade for the 25th ended. Anniversary.
All right. Well, we do got some news here. We're going to go through it. Happy New Year. First bit of news is actually from James in our Attic channel in Slack. Secret Lab unveils a new Pokemon gaming chair. This is off Game Informer. The gaming company has given its Titan Evo 2022 series its very best makeover with these ergonomic seats, sporting two of the franchise's most recognizable mascots. The first one is offering the adorable picture of Pikachu, yellow lettering. The second one is the orange and blue laced option, which is the Charizard. Both chairs come with a pair of Pokeballs stitched to the upper left-hand corner, creatures Pokedex to the right of the chair, and a hand-themed custom stitching throughout. It does not say how much they go for.
They're expensive.
Secret Lab chairs are, kind of pricey.
Are they good
chairs?
Mm.
Here's the question.
I don't know if they're good. But when they started, they were not. Because I remember when Secret Lab started, and if you their website's very different than what it was, and they would show like why their chair was different, and they would show the skeleton of their chair, and their chair is like the same skeleton of 40 other chairs that you can manufacture in China. I mean, that's a lot of things in life, right?
There's a lot of overlapping good design. Sure.
I mean, their website says there's the best gaming chair, so I don't have a reason to deny that.
That's true. Why would you lie about that?
Why would you say anything? Okay, so I'm looking at Secret Lab's Titan Evo 2022 series cyberpunk chair. And the sale price, because it is on sale right now.
They're always on sale.
They're always for mm-hmm. sale, but they're not necessarily always on sale.
Well, no. Secret Lab will always have a sale on something.
Yes.
Right. Not necessarily the one you want.
Right.
But they'll be like,
I'm saying the Cyberpunk 2077 is $4.99.
Yeah, sounds about right. That's what I paid for my racer, so.
Why do you need to lean this far back in a chair?
Oh, I nap in my chair all the time. That's why I got this built-in pillow.
I live in my house. I'll just get my big bed.
No. If you nap in a bed, that's commitment. If you nap in your chair, that's like certified, I'm just taking a nap here.
that's
I'm not falling asleep.
That's back and neck problems. So
No, because I got the pillow. I got the lumbar support. This is perfect nap chair.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah, I know a couple years ago, you could get the same quote-unquote Secret Lab chair for off not-name brand for $180, and their chairs are regular price, like $500, but always on sale for like $40 off or $50 off. I don't know if they've gotten better. I know a couple friends that had Secret Labs, and now they don't have Secret Labs.
I honestly think Secret Lab is their primary marketing tool is the sponsored or like affiliated, like the Pokemon chair or the, you know, whatever other game that they make a chair for with the artwork.
Yeah,
they have a Batman chair. They have a House Stark chair, a Cookies and Cream chair. What?
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Oh.
They got a lot of they got a Harry Potter chair. They got a Superman chair.
Harry Potter anymore.
They got the Flash.
Ooh, the Flash. The pink one's cute. Even liquid.
I'm sitting in a Han. H-O-N. You know, okay. I tried the Herman Miller.
They have a Monster Hunter chair and you don't have it?
I did the thing. I saved my money from after a whole year on Twitch. I was sitting in like a $129 Office Depot chair. Had this chair for like 8 years. It was great. Until you sit in it for 8 hours of streaming, not so great anymore. When I was sitting in it for a 2-hour podcast, wonderful. Insert Professor Oak. Wonderful. And I thought the entire time I was sitting in this chair, I was like, I need a headrest. This is the problem with the chair. Spoiler, it wasn't. The headrest was not the problem. So first I got a Steel Series chair, which was also very expensive, very similar to a Herman Miller. And I sat in the Steel Series chair for like a week, and it destroyed my back. This is like a $1,500 chair. I saved up for it, waited for it to go on sale. All these chairs go on sale a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. Got it. I hated it from the second I did all the adjustments that had the built-in knobs and stuff. I emailed them. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. How am I sitting in this chair wrong? And they were like, sometimes it just doesn't work with your body. You should send it back. I was like, okay. And then I went to the Herman Miller store down in Milwaukee, and I sat in a bunch of Herman Millers. And I was like, okay, these are comfortable. And then I was like, all right, come back. Sat in them again. And then finally I was like, all right, let's order the Herman Miller. Same thing. Once it was in my house, I was like, I hate this. You know the thing about the Herman Miller why I don't think it worked for me? Because I'm tiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they have the, like, mesh.
Yes.
It's more of a mesh chair. And I feel like I didn't push down on the mesh to make it, like...
So what you're saying is you need to do more squats and deadlifts.
Yeah.
You need to get out there and clang and bang.
Work on the booty. Because I purchased my husband, Herman Miller, when he started working from home, as a big birthday gift. And he has had it now 10 years, maybe 12. And he loves it. It's been the greatest. It was of all the things that I bought him that he never uses, because I will buy him things that he says he wants. And he's like, great. And then it sits in the corner and does nothing. And then I'm like, I hate you.
Sounds like my wife.
Sounds like your husband.
Well, obviously he uses this constantly. And now he's like, oh, the arm pads are wearing out, so I'm going to have to contact them for my lifetime replacement parts to get my arm pads replaced. But it's like the best purchase I've ever made. I also at one point bought, you remember the paraffin wax baths where you can put your hands in to get a wax treatment. Yeah, that's sitting in the cupboard of our kitchen, used twice.
Here's what in my adventure of chair shopping. So I end up on the Han, which the Han is like an $800 chair.
But what's the chair behind you? What are you?
Oh,
on right
this
now?
Is this. I did for our YouTube people. I did a Mario Party stream with my wife. This is just her chair. This is the same chair Will has.
Yes.
I don't remember the brand.
Techni.
Which I did have this chair and it was okay. This is the chair I thought I needed the headrest for. Was it?
But you don't nap enough in your chair. That's the problem.
I know. So the Han, which is like an $800 chair, never even heard of it. But here's the pro tip. Never buy these chairs full price. You can go to, this is what I discovered. If you just Google search like office warehouse, not like Office Depot, like generic office warehouse, there's a bunch, especially because of the pandemic, there's a bunch of used office resellers.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in Milwaukee was a woman owned store, and they were really great. And you walk in and they have literally every chair we just talked about. And you can just sit in them, and the chair I'm sitting in, it was, again, retailed for $700. It was $199.
So,
and they had Herman Miller's for literally half the price, like $750. And they looked brand new because
there's
these
one
companies
off of,
will buy all these chairs. And then
let me simplify and explain this for our younger listeners. This is how capitalism works. First, your employer tells you that you no longer have an office to come to and you need to work from your own home and pay for your own internet, electricity, and everything like that. They then close down the office buildings. They sell all of the furniture that you used to sit on that they provided you to a warehouse, which you then buy the chair that your employer used to provide you from that warehouse. You have now given money, technically, in a way, back to your employer so that you don't have to come to their office any longer. Welcome to capitalism, kids.
So two things. One, never buy a chair you have not sat in.
True.
Number two, look for an office reseller. And
I mean, I purchased the chair that I'm in that, and I never sat in it, and it's perfectly fine. And
that was the second time you bought
office.
That chair, right? Because you bought it again.
No, I bought it again for the other office.
Oh.
But when I had purchased this, I had never sat in this chair before.
Yeah, I would have never purchased that SteelSeries chair if I would have said it first.
Office Liquidators is the big one in
Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the one in Milwaukee was. It was very generic. It was like Office.
I remember hearing a lot of Office Liquidator commercials back in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Brooklyn Park.
This news isn't on the English Pokemon website. I'm sure it will be when they get back. I was going to say when they get back to the office, but in reality, all the people working at the Pokemon Company International are probably working at home. So we're going to pull this off Serebii. First one is the wild. There's a new wild area event. It's themed around luck, which has Meowth, Darmanitan, Magikarp, and Sudowoodo available. Shiny Magikarp is available. And it will go between January 1st through January 9th. So this is like the third time in Sword and Shield they've done Shiny Magikarp raids. I don't know who's still. I'm sure tons of people are still playing Sword and Shield. Honestly, it's mm-hmm. a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Shiny Magikarp, the cool thing about these raids is you're gonna get at least one big nugget every raid, no matter if it's a 1-star or 3-star or 5-star. It's guaranteed one big nugget. Shiny Magikarp's only 5-star. The other drops are just like regular nuggets. There's tons of ways to make money. We were talking about this last week, actually. There's only like one way to make money in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, and that's to beat up the old people. There is lots of ways to make money in this game. You could do the luxury ball in the Watt exchange. You can do raids. You can do...
What's with the heavy sigh, Will?
I'm just, you know, just knitting away here, knitting away.
I mean, it feels like you wanted to add some commentary to the truthful fact.
The only commentary I have to add is I thought that gambling in Pokemon games was prohibited. So why are they giving out nuggets for raids on random chance. This can't be allowed in the EU.
It's not random, isn't it, every time?
Yeah, but the amount that you get is randomized.
There's a drop table.
But the drop table's listed.
I wonder if they're going to keep doing these. The last raid event was also a week long. The Delibird one. This one's a week long. Well, a little more than a week. I wonder if they're going to keep doing that.
It's probably a metric week.
Metric week? What's that?
Yeah, 10 days, not 7.
Oh.
It's a metric week, not an imperial week.
Got it. Freedom week.
Freedom week. Freedom week is 10 days, but we call it 7.
We have the next rule set for VGC here. It will begin on February 1st. It will go through August 31st. So this is the longest season rule set. I don't know what to call it. Season rule set for Sword and Shield. Seems like this is also going to be the final rule set for Worlds 2022, since it's going to August 31st, and Worlds usually takes place beginning of August. The rule set expands on the previous rule set that allows 2 restricted Pokemon. It allows for the Pokemon for Galar, Isle of Armor, and Crontundra, including Pokemon not in the decks, as such as some legendary and 2 restricted legendaries per team. It will allow for Dynamax once again, and all Pokemon must have the Galar symbol or the Battle Ready symbol. So this is, I think, this is the equivalent to the GS Cup, 2 Legends, 2. You could always have as many Legends as you want. You could technically do Regirock, Registeel, Regice, and then Mesprit, Azelf, Uxie. That could be your team. But the restricted Legends, for those maybe not familiar with competitive, are usually the Legends that are featured on the box of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like your Reshiram, your Zekrom, Solgaleo, Lunala, Xerneas, Kyogre, Groudon. So in past seasons, you could only pick one of those. So the 2 most popular in the past seasons were Kyogre and then Zacian. Zacian cannot Dynamax, though. So Zacian would sometimes be like next to like a Tornadus, because Tornadus is not restricted, or a Thundurus, or whatever, a Torkoal. My favorite legend, Torkoal.
Yeah. So nice you shiny hunted it twice.
Or Spectre or Glastier. Those are also technically not box legends, so you'll see a lot of those. Although Calyrex would be, so once Rabbit Boy is riding horse, then that becomes your restriction.
Oh.
I think, from what I've seen, people are very excited about this. This is what people wanted for in Sword and Shield, was the 2 restricted. And it's nice that this is a pretty long season, because sometimes the meta starts changing near the end of those shorter seasons, which were like 3 months, and then, boom, season switch. So I've seen people be real positive, but you know, competitive people, they get real excited, and then something happens, and then they're like, Kyogre. Well, it's always Kyogre's fault.
Well, yeah, but in 6 months, the meta is going to be really stale, and then it'll be Worlds, and we'll see the same 6 Pokemon on every team for Worlds.
And maybe a Pachirisu miracle breaks through again.
Yeah.
There you go.
We can only hope. I think that's exciting, though. I mean, again, they've said many times Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl is not the competitive game. Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl has done everything in its power to make sure that you don't enjoy competitive in that game. So we'll... I would like
silent
to...
Silent knitting.
I would like to give this a try. I'll wait, though. It starts February 1st. I'll give it a couple weeks to see what's happening. I'm sure people are already building teams on Showdown and already testing. I'm sure people were already doing that before the season was announced, because...
Oh, yeah.
That's what...
Do you have your metronome team ready?
I don't have my metronome team ready. That is this coming Friday, if you're listening to this podcast on January 3rd. You have until January, I believe, 6th to register. You must register before the tournament starts. When you register...
You don't have to have your team ready.
You don't have to have your team ready when you register. It starts technically Thursday night, because it starts UTC time. But if you're looking for the Metronome Cup, that's this weekend. Starts on technically January 7th. Pretty easy to do. You're just picking, you don't even need six Pokemon. Just pick like three or four because they're all going to know Metronome.
And they can learn, they can know nothing else but Metronome, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
So do you have to get rid of all the moves?
Yes.
Or
they can only know one move, Metronome.
You can Dynamax technically, but Metronome just turns into Max Guard. So you're literally just stalling.
Maybe you metronomed a Toxic.
Yeah. There you go.
Toxic stall.
Actually, that's not too bad. Metronome Toxic than Max Guard. Next bit of news here. Oh, actually, this next bit of news is more of an article. So maybe we should take our break and come back. We can squeeze in some more news before because I don't want to start talking about that. It's the interview stuff.
There's got to be something.
I got Masters.
More
got
Pokemon
Masters.
Gyms coming to India. Is that a thing we want to talk about?
What?
The Niantic's website.
Oh yeah, they're like greatly increasing the number of Pokestops in India. To the point where they don't have pictures for all of them.
Yeah.
So they're basically waiting for people to submit pictures of the Pokestops, then they'll fill those in later.
Yeah. So I don't understand the comma use in the article on Pokemon Go. Is it 500,000? Or did they miss a zero and it's 5 million?
Oh, wait. Which site is this on?
It's on Pokemon Go Live.
Hold on. Because in most of the non-freedom world, the commas and periods and numbers are flipped. Yeah, that's more gyms and Pokestops coming to India.
It's like the second paragraph.
They said 5 million new gyms and Pokestops in India.
But it's missing a zero.
So then that's missing a zero.
Oh, that's just a typo.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, because I couldn't tell. I'm like, okay, so which part is wrong?
Yeah, because if you're flipping the commas and the periods, you'd only have one comma mm-hmm. and multiple
right.
periods.
And there's, yeah, it's very, anyway, so 5 million new
Yeah,
sets?
It's either that's 500,000, like, well, half a million or 5 million. Those are close numbers, you know.
Oh, or is it 500,000?
That's the question. Is it 500,000?
I think 500,000 is
which makes more sense.
Yeah,
but then why is there an extra comma in there?
All of them.
Oh boy,
like India is like real big.
It's a huge country.
Well, okay, so there's this. We don't want to get into geography cast because that always gets us in trouble. But I think India is the second most populated country.
China, number one.
Yeah, but not the most, like, it doesn't have the biggest land
right.
mass.
So, according to Google, it's 1.38 billion people.
5 million seems like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably 500,000.
It's 500. It's got to be 500,000.
Accidentally hit the comma
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, somebody did a comma in there. So, do we all know the population of the United States?
1 billion.
That's how many hamburgers that McDonald's has sold.
No. Try again. Will, what's your
250 million?
That's you're too closer. Low. That's too low.
It's 500 million?
It's 329.5 million people.
Yes.
So we have less than roughly a third
yes.
of the population of India in the United States. Just as a reference point. And, you know, if you're not in America, you can look.
Yeah.
How about Scotland? Because that's the only one that we're going to care about right now.
Oh, Scotland's got about 8 people and a sheep.
Right.
More sheep than people, I hear.
Wait, is the sheep, what is the singular of sheep? Shoop?
Sheep-eye.
Shop. According to this, population estimates of Scotland, any guesses, population estimates?
50 million.
3 million.
5,466,000 as of June 30th, 2020. So that may have gone up or down depending on this last year. Not a lot of people.
It's more than we've got in the Twin Cities, Greg.
Yeah.
Not a lot more.
Not a lot more. Not a lot more. See, I got us to the break. Look at how good I am at this show.
Look, we got one more bit of news here before break. First is you can receive up to 60,000 gems in Pokemon Masters as a New Year present.
I don't understand how that works.
Players who log in during the period will randomly be chosen to receive gems. Log in during the period will automatically get you entered in the giveaway. You will not receive a confirmation. All gems given out are non-paid gems. You have to log in between now and January 7th. 5 people will win 60,000 gems. 30 people will win 12,000. 100 people will win 6,000. 1,000 people will win 3,000. 10,000 people will win 1,000. And 20,000 people. Sorry. No, not enough commas. 200,000 people will receive 600. Those who log in but do not win anything above will still get 300 gems for logging in.
But the giveaway, so you'll get it, you won't know until the 12th, right?
Yes, they will pick the winners on the 12th at 10 p.m. I don't know what.
10 p.m.
They don't say.
They don't.
Pacific? No, UCT. No, Pacific. No,
they have nothing listed in their site. Like, it's literally not listed as a time. So
10 p.m. Cutter time.
So log in your Pokemon Masters. You want to log in anyways because the New Year event started, and day one of the New Year event will give you 3,000 gems, which is a good amount.
It's a free pull. So they post their news in as PT specific time, so one would assume. That their times are Pacific time.
They but added two new seasonal scouts. They added Volkner. And they added Sabrina with, Volkner with Electivire, which, spoiler for Diamond and Pearl, when you rematch Volkner, he will finally have an Electivire.
I feel like for a special suit pair, that one isn't surprising. Like, usually they have something like, whoa, I never thought they'd do that with that combo. And it's like, oh, you gave him one he has in the game. Well, that's
they've
not interesting.
Out of ideas.
Why,
look,
if we're talking about characters that have zero development and personality, Volkner is up there.
Has a lot of personality. It's called depression.
Oh.
He has it. And then you talk him out of it.
Very quickly.
Well, it wasn't deep.
And then Sabrina has a Chingling?
Which, like, that's what should be. That's the thing. Like, that's
her outfit's great.
Her outfit is very good.
Both Chingling
outfits are
evolve?
Cute, but hers is better. I believe all of them can evolve in the game currently. So, most likely, yes, you'd be able to evolve Chingling into a Chime Echo.
I don't know. I got that Nessa and Ice Cube. I'm pretty happy.
I did not get any of those holiday ones. Nor have I gotten super fancy second greatest champion Cynthia.
The Renegade Cynthia.
Yeah. Cynthia with a bat in her hair.
Last thing here before we take a break, just their message from the Pokemon Masters team, number 29. We'd like to wish a happy New Year to all players. Thank you for your support as we enter a new year of Pokemon Masters EX. The whole development team will continue to provide the best experience as possible. We hope you enjoy your adventures on Paseo. The new year and new friends story event is on its way. Volkner and Sabrina play a big part in this event, appearing in sync pair scouts as seasonal pairs wearing fancy outfits. Enjoy the new story on the year of Paseo. Volkner, New Year's 2022, and Electivire are an electric type strike sync pair. Their passive skill grants them super effective next effect when attacking opponent with a super effective move, making them capable of dishing out major damage to an opponent weak to electric attacks. They can use moves like Discharge and Thunder, allowing them to attack either or all opponents. After using their sync move for the first time, they can turn on Electric Terrain, which is another powerful effect. Sabrina, New Year's 2022, and Chingling are a new psychic type support sync pair. Their trainer move, Clear Your Mind, restores allies' HP by 40% and its maximum HP of its maximum HP and applies the enduring effect. Also, after Sabrina uses its trainer move, the Sync Pair's passive skills has an increase to increase all special moves. Next effect for all allies by one rank. They also have other moves and passive skills that can boost allies' special attack, critical rate, and other critical hit rate and other capabilities, making it a solid supporter for both offense and defense. A login bonus will offer 7,000 gems and some New Year Scout tickets along the way. Each New Year Scout ticket will gain you one use of the New Year Poke Fair Scout. The Scout gives you a chance to team up with a fair exclusive sync pairs such as Cynthia, Lance, and Steven. You can get 8 New Year Scout tickets from login bonuses, so be sure to log in every day. There's a new daily battle challenge, which will offer you scout tickets, gems, and battle points. You can earn 14 New Year Scout tickets from the event, meaning that this event and with the New Year's login bonus combined, you can get up to 22 tickets. We hope you try to collect them all. And there are new banners. There is the 5-star select Poke Scout. There's the 5-star Skelet. There's 2 5-star select Fair Poke Scouts. And then there's a 5-star select Special Scout. I think most of those are paid.
They are all paid. The 2 special banners that are like get this many are paid gems only.
And then we talked about the giveaway. And then they said there's a dragon type gear event coming on January 5th. We hope you look forward to that. Some future updates, they say. We are currently working on new content that will allow you to learn battle tips as you earn incredible rewards by completing battles. This content will be aimed at players who may be having a tough time completing the Champion Stadium on hard difficulty. Joke's on you, Masters. I haven't even tried Stadium once. I'm too busy pulling characters.
I've done Stadium some.
By completing this content, you should learn enough tips and tricks of the trade to be able to complete the Champion Stadium on hard. To play this content, you'll have to complete the Champion Stadium on normal first. The sync pairs that are used in this content are fixed, so you won't have to worry about training your own. And anyone will be able to win as long as they have a grasp of basic battle. That's actually kind of cool of them to be like...
Yeah, they needed something because the difficulty spike between normal and hard is real steep. Like, you can blow through normal on auto and be like, whatever. You cannot do that on the harder ones at all. You do sort of have to know what you're doing.
We are aiming for this content to be released around late February, so please wait a little bit longer. As we mentioned at the end of last year, the Sinnoh chapter of the villain arc is scheduled to begin on January 12th. We hope you look forward to it. Our next message is scheduled for late January. In it, we plan to share information about new sync pairs and events for February. We're always working hard to deliver updates and improvements to make the world of Pokemon Masters EX as fun as possible.
Masters is in a decent place.
Yeah. I know the thing you probably hear is like, oh, there's so many paid banners.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not for you.
their banners are still a problem. Like, there's still way too many banners, and it's very confusing. But I think for gameplay, like, you don't have to do the hard stuff at all, and you still get a lot of rewards. So if you're a casual player, you can do just the normal and, like, super hard stuff and still get a lot of rewards, and those rewards are enough for how you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
They've somewhat fixed the amount of gems you get so that you get more pulls more often nowadays than you did in the past. So getting a pull of all 3 stars doesn't hurt as bad as it used to. So I think they've really done a lot to make the game more friendly to the casual player, and I think they've improved the ability to have it reward you for the amount of time you're willing to put in. So even if you only put in 15 minutes a day, like I do, you still feel like you're getting an appropriate amount of awards that was worth putting those 15 minutes. And I couldn't have said that a year ago.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this interview that came out of nowhere. And then we'll do our question of the week and Pokemon of the week. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like having your iPhone and not having a case on it. Well, I guess you could have an Android phone too. Having a phone with no case on it. 9 out of 10 times, you're probably all right. You're probably good. You're walking around. You're playing a little Pokemon Go. But it only takes one drop, Greg. One single drop. And then you were like, I should have brought the case. I should have had the pop socket. Now, I cannot get this shiny Hoothoot because my screen is shattered.
I have never dropped my phone in front of you, and I resent the implication that I have.
Going online without ExpressVPN is like not having a case on your phone.
And I use ExpressVPN. I have a subscription. I use it every single day. Not only because when you're on a public Wi-Fi network, you know, that's it's public because it makes it easy for people to access. And that means not only you, but also people who you don't know, who you shouldn't necessarily trust, have access. And they may be able to see your data as it goes across that network. So any hacker on the same network can gain access to and steal your personal data. I also use it when I visit people's houses because I don't know what kind of scanning tools they might have. So even if it's somebody I kind of know and they give me the password for their Wi-Fi, I still use the VPN because I don't know if they're like spying on what Will is downloading from their home internet, which is only Pokemon web pages.
You don't want people to know your 2022 VGC team.
Exactly.
Correct.
It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone. There's a lot of guides out there and just very cheap hardware that, you know, anybody who, with some amount of intelligence and ability to read can put together a hacking kit. And your data is very valuable because hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info on the dark web. You know, and then, you know, all of a sudden your credit card was used to buy plane tickets and you don't get to take the trip.
Why should you use ExpressVPN? Well, one, it's got an encrypted tunnel. Look, we all know the internet is a series of tubes.
Hoots.
And this this creates your own super special ExpressVPN tube.
Love
that
a
hackers
good tube.
Can't crack into.
Think of that tube in black and white that you
yeah.
have to go through.
It's a series of tubes. It's super secure. Look, ExpressVPN has great encryption. It doesn't give in to hackers easily. A hacker with a supercomputer still probably can't get past ExpressVPN's encryption. It's that good. It's very easy to use. You just fire up the app and then hit a couple of buttons.
No,
good.
It's one button. It's literally one button.
It's one
you
button.
Just, you press
it.
One button and it turns green and it says you're connected
you're
and
connected.
You're protected. And also the nice thing too, you were going to get this. But
yeah. It works on like a million devices.
Yes, I don't have to pay separate subscriptions for my computer, my phone, and my iPad. It's one subscription, and I get to use the VPN on all of those.
Yeah, super secure.
You can secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/pkmncast. That is expressvpn.com/pkmncast. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/PKMNCAST. And we are back from our break. All right, this was like the... I don't know if it was breaking news, good news.
Scandal of the year.
The year just started.
I know. The scandals are very low level so far.
Mm.
It's not even a scandal.
I am sure there are other sites that have their own translations. This is a Japanese interview, so we'll see how good their Japanese translation is here. This is off NintendoEverything.com, but again, I'm sure other people have translated it. Over on its recruitment website, Game Freak posted an article about the creation of Sword and Shield. Director Tsujiri Omori.
I think it's Tsujiru. Something like that.
and planning director Iwao provided some insight on how Switch games could be made. Nintendo Everything translated the full piece. So Amori, for those that don't know, they directed Sun and Moon and Black and White. Or was it Black 2, White 2? Pretty much Amori directed the games that Masuda did not direct, is what it comes down to. Let's see. So it starts off saying Amori was the director of Sword and Shield. Amori was involved since Ruby and Sapphire, as well as a number of the Pokemon games. Iwao was the planning director for Sword and Shield, and they excel in the field of UI planning. They led the project with Amori throughout development. It says Amori and few other key staff members started to think about the concept of a new Pokemon game right after Pokemon Sun and Moon development finished in the fall of 2016. With the knowledge that the Switch can connect to a television, the initial idea was to make the Pokemon title larger in scope in order to surprise players. Amori met with Iwao, who directed Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and things started in September of 2017. Amori named the games after the team thought of giving Pokemon swords and shields to fight gigantic Pokemon. The development team was very particular about the graphics for the new game, especially when factoring in that it would be able to be connected to the big screen. The team wanted the title to be enjoyable in both docked and portable mode. Amori reflected on the project, saying that he placed heavy emphasis on how the game would fit into players' lifestyles and how the team could incorporate the strengths of the new console. He also mentioned throughout that they considered the planning and design of the game. The original Pokemon games were made by a very small team, and their approach to improving the quality of different aspects was something break it, then make it again. Improvements to technology made it impossible for them to use the same approach to be used this time, as development teams have become much larger. Amori knew that the approach of the new games like older generations, Amori knew that if he approached the new games like the older generations, it would cause mass confusion. To prevent any confusion or misunderstanding, Amori assembled a small core team at the very start of development that conceived the design for the titles. This allowed the team to put everything they had planned into the game. So, before we get too deep into things, originally Masuda said that they were working on Sword and Shield for 3 years, and here it says things started in September of 2017, which Sword and Shield came out in November of 2019.
Yeah.
And people were saying that Masuda was lying, that it was only 2 years, not 3 years, but like, you have to plan out the game before you start making it. Like, counts as making the game, and they started planning it in
2016, yeah. Right? Like,
well, it's kind of like when you're like in middle school and your parents asked you if you've started working on your report yet, and you had thought about like what you would want to do your report on 2 days ago, so you say yes, two days ago. I have been working on it for two days.
I mean, I'm sure there's much more of their planning than thinking about it that went into in the start of fall of 2016.
Yeah.
I think it's fun that the whole thing started with, like, let's give them swords and shields and make a fight super big Pokemon. Like, the thought of, like, the idea was that, like, what should we do?
We got super big Pokemon.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's, like, make it even more RPG fantasy related.
Iwao says that one of the most important themes during development of Sword and Shield was the generational shift among staff. He gave higher positions to younger staff members who only had the ability and motivation to take on the responsibility, which gave them opportunities to grow and learn. The staff should not only have the ability to carry out the tasks placed in front of them, but to communicate and build rapport with other team members in a process. A project like Pokemon cannot be handled individually. When asked how younger staff members performed, Iwao felt the lack of knowledge and experience sometimes showed throughout the project. Young staff got stuck on numerous occasions and received a lot of advice from more experienced staff members. They struggled, but eventually made it through with the help of more experienced staff. It has always been a tradition at Game Freak to give opportunities to youth. Even Amori, He was chosen as the planning director leader for Diamond and Pearl when he was 25, while all the other staff members were more experienced. The organization often changes with every game title, which is another thing that makes Game Freak so unique.
And this interview was done as a recruiting mechanism, if I believe, right?
Like, it's on their recruitment page, yes.
It was on their human resources, like, job listings and stuff. Yeah. So I think, I mean, that's, they're just basically saying that, you know, we do give opportunities to younger people to kind of attract younger talent to the company.
There's, like, something in Japan, too, where, like, there's not a lot of turnover. Like, people get a job and they, like, stay there.
I mean, you're talking to Will and Greg here, okay? what are you trying to say?
I've been at my company for 25 years.
Same.
It's cool for them to say, like, hey, we gave a bunch of things to younger staff and they got stuck. And looking back, that sucks, but also they got through it.
Yeah. Well, what they're basically trying to say is we want you to take on challenges. We are willing to give you projects knowing that you will probably get stuck in certain places, and we are also here to help you get through them. Like, they recognize that as part of how they build things, when they give stuff to inexperienced people, they've built into their planning that you are going to get stuck.
Yeah.
You are not going to know how to do things. And it's a teaching tool. It's an on-the-job teaching thing. Like, let's see if you can figure out how to get out of it, if there's a new idea or a new way. But if it's really bad, we have people who've gotten past it that can help.
And it's also advertising their corporate culture to say, like, if a younger person comes across a problem that they can't solve, then a more experienced person will help them solve the problem.
Right.
As opposed to, like, the culture that I promote, where if a less experienced person comes to me and says, I have this problem I can't solve, I say, what am I paying you for? I hired you to solve that problem. I will find somebody better than you.
You're
Goodbye.
Such a boss.
As the director leading the project, there were several factors Amori paid attention to. One of them was Amori to delegate individual tasks that they excelled at. For instance, through communicating with the staff, Amori gave clothing design to those who liked fashion, sporty clothes to staff interested in sport. Cafe lovers would design the spot to ensure the cafe-like feeling, and so on. Amori wanted every individual to be able to bring out their strengths. This resulted in the team members having the freedom to express themselves, and is perhaps one of the reasons why the game was enjoyed by so many. One of the director's job is to create an environment which brings the best out of all its staff. Amori adds that he wanted to continue being a part of the new projects in the future. He shares that he wanted to start new projects not by designing, but for making prototypes of games instead. He aims for games to be made by not only planners, but also designers and programmers. This allows for anyone to be able to pitch in and create games that can be enjoyed by even more people. Look, I will definitely say the clothing and, like, the city design and the theming of Sword and Shield is incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah, I think knowing, like, this is just a fun thing to point out, like, we got input from people who know those cultures, right? Like, we know what, we went to the sports people to design the uniforms, we went to the cafe people to get these things, the people who had experience, which makes those things feel so much more real, because, like, if you're interested in those things, you're like, oh yeah, that totally fits the vibe. It's just nice that they underlined that, and also on a recruitment page saying, like, we will look at your whole life and your experiences outside of the company to help bring ideas in. It's another sort of nod to what they think their culture is like.
As opposed to my culture, where I say, if I wanted your input on clothing design, I would have hired you for the clothing design team. Please go back to your SQL programming and stop with your inputs. Thank you.
Ilka.
Even after 20 years, the Pokemon franchise is still going strong. Amori says that even if he thinks the game is perfect, there will always be new ideas after the project is over. He added that Pokemon will continue to change with new technology, new development teams, and a new way of playing games. Amori wants to create Pokemon games that gamers desire and give the feeling that Pokemon exist and live with us. It might be surprising to hear that every Pokemon title is made entirely in an entirely different way. Team members try not to rely on experience and enjoy tackling the new challenge given to them. Emphasizes that no matter the work, if you do it long enough, it will eventually become tedious. With Game Freak, however, there are always new opportunities, new positions. Being able to join in the gear projects, we've talked about those before, meaning that it will never get repetitive and never gets boring. With the vast amount of experience spanning over 20 years, a unique system that allows youth to experience failure and success, and a company continuing to change generations, Pokemon will continue to evolve. And again, that was all translated by Nintendo Everything. I might have skipped some words or sentences.
Mm. I mean, they give credit to the two people that helped them do it. I don't know who those people are, but I'm sure you can find them on Twitter.
So we're all applying for jobs at Game Freak, right?
I mean,
they want youth. We're all old.
Excuse? Speak for yourself. Thank you very much.
You feel your age. Will and I are both young at heart and ready for a new career. We have proven that we are loyal, capable of seeing projects through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
They can pull on our experience, and we can actually put pride wear into Pokemon outfits. Look, we got it all. We are the hires to hire. Also, we know how to cut and paste.
I'm very good at the control.
I'm real good at cutting and pasting.
Control C, Control V.
Yeah. So I'm excellent at it.
I don't think Sword and Shield are perfect games by any means.
No. I mean, they're very, very good.
Yeah, they're.
And they got way better with the DLCs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would probably put Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon as my favorite Pokemon game, but because of the DLC, Sword and Shield are.
Sword and Shield, I think, are in my top five for sure. Mm. I don't know that they're top three. Mm. I'm trying to, but it's also hard for me because it's hard to be like, well, I haven't played that game in a while, so it's hard to rate them.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, Emerald's my number one, and I would probably say Black and White are probably my next.
Not Black 2, White 2?
No.
I mean, I consider
Black and White 1 is much better than Black 2,
White 2. I consider them all the same game, right? Like,
I would have to play one or two. One you start on the west side, the other you start on the east side. Come on.
I mean, they're very similar games, so put them in. The tough thing is what would be 3? And 3 is a very tough slot to figure out, because I do think it's probably Sun and Moon, but like Sword and Shield fight for it. So it's like, I think those two fight between 3 and 4 a lot. Because Sun and Moon, which also encompasses Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, were really, I had a lot of fun with those games. I put a lot of hours in those games. I found them very refreshing.
I would probably, for me, put X and Y above Sun and Moon. I just think that cohesive.
Roller skates.
Everything. No.
Yeah. X and Y would be higher if I didn't hate the pacing of that game so much.
Man, bring back the roller skates.
The thing is, I think like Diamond and Pearl has slipped because of the remake.
The thing that I think of when I like read, when I read this, is I just think of other Nintendo games. And when you like read comments or you see tweets or other people post or just discussions with other online communities, you always hear what was the line that stood out here? It was where did it go? Amori knew that if he approached the new games like the older generation, it would cause mass confusion. That line is a little weird, but like I don't think it's weird in the grand scheme of like, even though each Pokemon game like sticks to a formula, like you will battle 8 gym leaders, you will catch Pokemon, you will have 4 moves, you will use the water move against the fire move, like that formula works. But how do you make the things around it unique? Mm-hmm. And how do you make the things around it go, this game is different than this game, right? You can look at Sword and Shield and you can go, this game has the big Pokemon. You can look at Sun and Moon, and you could be like, this game has the Hawaii Island themes.
This game has all the holes.
And the Z.
This is the whole game.
You can look at Diamond and Pearl and go, this game has the dumb mountain in the middle of the map.
It's got the big mountain.
Right, like, I think that that's what stands out in that sentence to me of like, how do we make this game look different to people who may know Pokemon or may not know Pokemon? And so I think of that in the same way as I think of like a Mario or a Zelda game. All Mario games are the same. You collect something, you collect enough something to battle Bowser, and then you save the kingdom, right? Like, and throughout that entire time, you're jumping and you're ground, you're butt slamming and you're flipping, right? Like, that's all the same in Mario games.
I don't like platformers, so I have to take your word for it.
But every Mario game has its own gimmick, right? Like, Sunshine has the jetpack. Odyssey has the hat that turns into things, right? But, like, at its core...
Galaxy is the one we went to planets, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not Galaxy. Galaxy's planets, Odyssey is
hats.
But at its core, it's the same as Pokemon, right? Like, that core is the same. The same with Zelda, right?
The
core, even Breath of the Wild, which is this open-world Zelda game, the core is still the same. You're collecting heart pieces, you're collecting rubies, you're getting more tools for your utility belt, because you're, like, elf Batman, and then you fight a giant pig at the end. Well, Ganon's a pig.
Isn't this rude? I mean, he probably very
Are you sure
nice.
Ganon is or Ganon? No,
Ganon is the pig. Ganondorf is the human.
Okay.
Yeah, I know my Zelda. But again, like, Zelda's core is ultimately the same, but the things around it are different. You know, one has a horse, one has a boat, one has a train, one has a hat that makes you really small, but one turns you into a painting.
It's a cap.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why Pokemon fans can't see that, though. Or some Pokemon fans can't see that. Like,
see what?
Of course the main thing of the game is going to stay the same. And of course not everything from an old Pokemon game is going to come to a new... Like imagine if Zelda did that. Like, hey, this game we had a boat, but now we took the boat away, and we're making you a wolf. And they're like, no, but bring the boat back. And it's like, but you can't be
I mean, there are definitely people who are like, bring the boat back. But, I mean, I think the thing is everybody disagrees what is a core mechanic and a vital part of a Pokemon experience, right? Because RPG is a very, very broad term, unlike a platformer, which is a mechanic. RPG, the main mechanic for any RPG is you battle things and you level up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the actual core of an RPG, like, game mechanics wise. Like, when you say Mario has the same core mechanic, it's a platformer. You know, they play the same way. Like, when Paper Mario was an RPG, you fought things and you leveled up. Like, those are the core mechanics. I think where people get unnecessarily in the weeds is when they decide what the other core mechanics are. And those things shouldn't be changed. Like, some people say the 8 gyms is a core mechanic for Pokemon and thus hate Sun and Moon for getting rid of a core mechanic. But it's not a core mechanic per se. It is a core element for most of the games, but that element can be swapped out.
Yeah, a highly identified feature.
Right. So, like, the boat versus riding the wolf versus riding the horse, like, yeah, that's the same as how many gyms you are. You're going to end up riding something to get to an Elite Four.
You didn't ride the wolf. You turned into the wolf.
Look, I can ride the wolf if I want to. I've seen statues of something on the back of that wolf. But, I mean, the thing is one of the strengths about Pokemon games is there are so many consistent elements that people latch onto. That's That's one of the powers of that franchise, is there's generally something for everybody to like, but it also has the downside of if they change the thing that you like, you're not going to like that game as much. Like, if your whole thing is I want to fight gyms, and they change the gyms and make it trials, those games aren't going to be your thing anymore. Like, you don't find that progression fun.
Question of the week?
What's the question of the week? I want to hear it now.
Evan says, what? 2022 is the year of... dot, dot, dot. We have not decided that Pokemon.
You can't ask that as the question of the week. That is a Twitch stream nightmare only, yes. And we get told what it is after.
Yeah, it's a...
And then we disagree with it.
It doesn't even matter because he doesn't do anything with it. It was the year 2021, year of the Cryogonal. Did that come up in any merch? Did that come up as an emote? Did that come up as anything? No. It was just decided and left in the dust.
I mean, Cryogonal deserves that.
No Pokemon deserves that other than Meditite.
Steven says, as 2021 comes to an end, what is your favorite Pokemon-related experience in the year of 2021? That's a good one. It's a good one.
None of them?
What?
It's hard to say one experience, but I would say all the walks that Greg and I took in the art park.
Yeah.
On Pokemon Go community days.
We had a lot of fun meanderings through the little art park. I would say I will say the Kanto tour was important to be like going back into public and doing things in person with a bunch of us again was a really big important moment of 2021. That was just sort of like a big breath of normality, even though nothing about what we did that day was very normal. It was just being back together. Like, Chris flew in, you drove in, people were here, we found people at the mall. Like, it was just a very nice slice of normality in what had been and continues to be a sort of chaotic year.
Kanto tour, yeah. Go Fest felt even more normal than Kanto tour.
Well, yeah, because you walked for 8 hours with a big backpack strapped to your back. Yeah. That's normal for you, weirdo.
There were definitely Pokemon Go streams that I did that just like the Pokemon Go Fest, or I think I streamed on Bidoof Day. There was the stream, one of the final Go streams I did downtown Milwaukee in Bayview. Like, even though I wasn't with you guys or I wasn't with anyone in particular, like having the backpack on and showing people like the city that I've lived in for 30 some years and like people asking questions and us getting like I think I got the flying shiny balloon Pikachu or whatever in one of those streams, and it was like really exciting. Like those moments, because of Pokemon, stand out to me so much, right? Like, and this is why Pokemon Go is such an important game to me. Like, I don't, what other video game would be like, I get to play this game and show you all a city I grew up in for so long. Like those moments definitely stand out to me.
Yeah. What I'm bummed is when I thought about that, nothing really related to the 25th anniversary stuck out to me. Right?
True.
Like, Pokemon Go did a better job at making memories on their fifth year.
Yeah.
And that's a little frustrating to me.
Pokemon Snap was super surprising.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But that could have came out any year.
That could have come out any year. And me playing it by myself isn't.
Pokemon Unite was very good.
Yeah.
Again, could have came out any year.
It could have come out in any year. It's not like. It's not like my favorite Pokemon related. Like, 2021 was a good Pokemon year. I'm still let down by the fact that it was supposed to be an anniversary year, and really nothing directly related to the anniversary was all that spectacular. Like, I've listened to that album once and I have not gone back to it since. There's nothing on there to draw me back.
They had some good merch. You were telling me that the partnership with Oreos didn't do it for you?
No. I found my Mew, I ate my Mew, and it moved on.
You know what was actually decent? 25-year thing, the Pokemon Celebrations TCG, that set for this year was easily one of the best sets that they've put out in a long time. Very
fun
with to
the
open.
The giant farting Pikachu? Was that that set?
The farting Pikachu one. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Very fun to open and to collect for anyone from hardcore TCG to I only buy 3 booster packs a year kind of person. I think that set was pretty great.
Do we have a YouTube-y?
No YouTube question. Sorry. I forgot to ask. Hey, if you're on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure there's what people put them in there, though.
Leave a question for that is, why isn't Will here?
Oh, yeah. Will will not be on the show next week.
Correct.
That's true. Because you're going to be gone for what, week or two?
Mm-mm. Just 1 week. Please, I can't afford Hawaii for more than like 7 or 8 days.
it's expensive. Give us our extra long Pokemon of the week then.
Well, it's not extra long, actually, but last week's Pokemon of the week was a complaint about Sincerely Sinnoh and the Canalave Gym. And what's really funny, though, is on listening to subsequent episodes of Sincerely Sinnoh, Steve is like, oh, this Pokemon is in Candace's gym because it knows Ice Punch, and like basically making my argument for me. But yes, it is a Pokemon that is not a Steel-type Pokemon, but it knows a Steel-type move, can actually learn 2 Steel-type moves in other games.
In other games?
Yes. Et cetera, et cetera. So, who's the Pokemon?
It's
Medicham!
No.
It's Azumarill.
Azumarill, yes. I also said I don't have blue ink, and blue is like azure.
The Aqua Rabbit Pokemon.
It's a rabbit, but
it has long rabbit ears, and it's like
being a rabbit.
It's egg body.
I do not like its shuffle icon. I don't.
This never happens.
I know.
I don't know where it is. I can't see it. Why is this page
down
so
at
long?
The bottom?
There's a lot of info to talk about
Azumarill. It's a very popular Pokemon.
It's really bad. Why is it winking? Why do they need the need to include its tail?
Yeah, and shortcut the ears. It's just weird.
It's got the little Meryl tail that like Meryl bounces on the tail.
There,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Good, 9? Still solid. Like a gold, a really great gold shiny.
I was gonna say 9 times out of 10, the like original shinies are better. And then when in the newer games, I don't know if they got less colors or they hit the wrong saturation button, but sometimes they turn out being bad. Azumarill got much better.
Much better. Mm. Solid, solid, solid. For the page being this long, there is nothing in trivia.
In Generation 5, Azumarill and Meryl are the only Pokemon that can have electric type as their sole weakness. This is because of their hidden ability, Sap Sipper. Azumarill is the only member of its evolutionary line that was not publicly revealed prior to its generation it debuted in.
That's some real trivia there for you.
Huh.
You know why Generation 5 is good? No one talks about this. Hidden abilities.
The dream world.
I didn't know that swamp rabbits was a specific type of rabbit.
Why not?
Love a good swamp rabbit.
I mean, I always just assumed rabbits could swim, but apparently that's a thing about swamp rabbits is they have a strong preference for wet areas and can swim.
I don't think of rabbits as big swimmers, no.
But apparently that's a thing because it's based off of a swamp rabbit.
Well, there's swimming deer in the Florida Keys, so that's something you'd never think about either.
Deer in Florida?
in the Florida Keys.
In the Keys, yeah.
They're very mean? Specific key. The island. Oh, wow.
Is that where, like, the you islands? Put is that like a bowl?
No. No.
No.
No. There is a chain of islands that goes from, like, northeast of Miami and around to the south. It's like the southernmost part in the United States yeah. is oh. Key West.
Will, did you watch the video of Steve at age, what age are you right now, Steve?
33.
Figuring out why it's called a quarter pounder at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, because I commented because he said, no, I was watching the Twitch stream.
So and was
he
I.
Said, he said a quarter pounder because it's a fourth of a beef. And I was like, no, no, no. It's a 25% of a beef, not a fourth of a beef.
What we need to wrap this. What is next week's Pokemon?
Here we go. One of my nieces recently commented on my Snapchat streak stating that Combi is a dumb Pokemon and that her boyfriend thinks Chikorita is better. I responded that there are no good Pokemon whose names start with the letter C. She replied with a particular legendary Pokemon that has a mass of 1 hectogram and who shares half of its 2-move pool with Magikarp and whose final evolution depends on the game where it is evolved. Obviously, she remains incorrect.
That's easy.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Chatot because it starts with a C.
It starts with a C. It's Chatot, that legendary Pokemon.
Hey, we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. It is the start of the year. There is a brand new Pokemon game coming out in like 25 days. It's a good time to sign up for our Patreon. Patreon.com/PKMNCST or you can go to ISC.cash. That also works. We have a lot of things planned for the year. And just because I know for whatever reason, Bobby decided to change his monthly subscription to a yearly subscription. You can do that. If you do a yearly subscription, you save 2 months. You get 2 months for free. If you want to be stuck with me for all year, yearly subscription is the way to go. And you should probably do it now. This is the beginning of the year. But to any of our patrons, thank you so much. I super, super appreciate it. This year should be really good. I don't know. Maybe we get Gen 9. Maybe we get DLC. Maybe we get nothing. Maybe they add all the rest of the Pokemon to Sword and Shield. Spoiler, that one ain't happening.
Not gonna
That's
happen.
Not happening.
That one definitely ain't happening. We're more likely to get Gen 9 before we get all the Pokemon in Sword and Shield, I'll tell you that much. But the year should be good. So to anyone who supports us, making it to the end of the episode, supporting on Patreon, watching the Twitch streams, liking, commenting, subscribing on YouTube, thank you. Very, very excited for 2022. If you want to follow Will on Twitter, it is Wash in the Sink. Greg on Twitter at White Wing. I am on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at PKMNCAST. Same as Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, Patreon, literally everything. I think we have solidified that username everywhere. So thank you so much for listening. Have a happy new year. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super steel types? Just because you have a move of steel type does not mean you belong in the steel type gym.
This podcast is supported by Patreon. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. A huge shout out to our Patreon producers, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Brian, Evan, Ryan, Patrick, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Gray, Dylan, Carlos, Alvaro, and a shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. And we couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you again, and we will see you next week.